If you have your Bibles, look with me, please. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. This is a, while you're turning there, let me say this. This is a time, hours before Jesus was to go to the cross. And he was concerned about his apostles and his disciples. He knew they were going to miss him when he's gone. And so he was giving them some encouragement here. If you're at John chapter 16, I'm going to begin reading at verse 16. John chapter 16, beginning at verse 16, gives us these words. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me, and because I go to the Father. And there's a question mark there in their minds. Verse 18, They said therefore, What is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do you inquire among yourselves of that I said a little while? And you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she hath is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for the joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this passage of Scripture. I pray, Lord, today as we look into it, that you'd illuminate our minds, that you'd anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive the truth of your word today. I thank you, Lord, for what you've given me to say today, and I pray, Lord, you'd anoint me to say what you'd have me say. And I pray, Lord, everything that I say, it be in your will. I pray, dear Lord, face one here among us. That's not where they need to be with you today, that they'd move up closer, those that are saved and those maybe here that's not saved. I pray, God, you'd speak to their heart. I pray, Lord, you'd draw folks in your love to the place where they'd be willing to repent and turn to you and get right with you before it's too late. We thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us and all you'll do for us the rest of this day and the rest of this service and in all the days ahead. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. As I said, Jesus is concerned about his people here, and he's giving them a little bit of encouragement. And I'd like for you to understand Jesus was looking at things from two perspectives here when he gave this little message to his people. He was thinking about the perspective, him being man, and also him being God. And let's all understand now that he was always, when he was on this earth, he was always 100% man and 100% God. And the fact that he was God didn't interfere with him being man, and the fact that he was man did not interfere with him being God. And so he looked at time from both perspectives as he was saying this. And he was thinking of more than just the fact that he was ready to go to Calvary, and that's what was certainly on his mind. He knew all about it. He knew what was going to happen there and so forth. But he also, as God, he knew all about the future beyond Calvary and beyond his resurrection, and that's what we want to talk about here today. I'd like for you, if you would, right now, to draw an imaginary line in your mind that reaches as far as you can imagine, as far as you can see one way, and as far as you can see the other way. The line has no beginning and no end. That line in your mind today will represent eternity. That's where God is. He's in eternity. And below that line, a little smaller line that has a beginning and it has an end. And that little line's called time. And it's a line that God pulled out of eternity and gave for mankind to live in, and he called it time. That's what we'll talk about today. As God, when Jesus was talking to his disciples here, he saw everything. God sees when time was created, God saw the end. He was there at the beginning of time because he gave time. He made time. He invented time. And when he gave it, he was there at the beginning and he saw the end. And he saw everything in between the beginning and the end. That's how big God is. He sits in eternity and he looks at time and he sees it all. And there are specific points in that timeline that God gave that are very critical to mankind. And that's what we'll talk about today. There was a time on that line that God spoke to a man named Abraham and told Abraham, I want you to get out of the country where you live, and I want you to go where I tell you, and I'll show you when you get there. And Abraham left, packed his suitcase, and took his wife, and off they went. And from that man, God made a nation. And from the loins of that man came the seed that they talked about in the scripture, you know. And the Lord Jesus came from that line, our Savior. God had that specific time there. He had a specific time when that nation became disobedient and so forth. They was he had specific times that he'd make a remedy for them and so forth. And he had a specific time in my life, and he had a specific time in your life if you're saved today, that he spoke to your heart and drew you to the place where you'd repent and turn to him and get saved. And time, Jesus as man, and we as people, we're bound by time. But thank God, Jesus, there was a time when Jesus stepped out of eternity onto that timeline that God had given, and lived 33 and a half years, and thank God went to the cross and suffered and died there so that we could be redeemed and paid a price that we couldn't pay. Thank God for what he's done. Now, I got two or three scriptures leading up to what I really want to talk about. I want to talk about this title of the message that God's given me today, A Little While. A Little While. Now, I want you to understand that everything in time with God is a little while. And Jesus, as God, he knew that everything that was in his mind right at that point was going to happen in just a little while. Now, for us, a little while, you know, it might mean things different. If I tell Vivian I'm going over to Home Depot and I'll be back in a little while, she probably understand that means maybe I might be back maybe an hour or 30 minutes or whatever, you know, is in her mind. A little while, but it could mean, you know, a lot of different things for different people. We got different concept of time, a lot of us do, and we're bound by time. Now, in Psalm verse 90, at verse 4, we're given these words. It says, "For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night." That's God's concept of time. He sees it all at the same time. He sees now everything that's happened in the past. He sees now everything that's happening in the present. And he sees now everything that's going to happen in the future. That's why he said, I am that I am. He's a present tense God all the time. In every scope of time that we understand, he's there. Now, when you got saved, when I got saved, he went to Calvary. He saw what happened at Calvary. Let me turn my mic. Thank you. Okay, I got my mic on. My lapel mic. Because I'll probably get out here and walk around. He sees time in a lot different way than we do. He sees all time. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So time don't mean the same thing to God as it does to us. He sees it all. He sees everything. That it's hard to imagine. It's hard to get a hold of that. But God sees everything that's ever happened on that timeline. He sees everything that's happening now, and He sees everything that's going to happen. That's why we ought to be in contact with Him on a daily basis and let Him lead us and guide us and direct us, because He knows what's ahead for us, and He knows how to prepare us. And if we'll stay in contact with Him, He can have us prepared for tomorrow. He can have us prepared for next week. He can have us prepared for what's ahead for us. And we don't have to stumble through life, without some direction. So, in Isaiah 46, to kind of lock that point down right there, remember he said in Isaiah 46, he told the old prophet, and he said, I want you to share this with the people. He said, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end. Talk about your timeline here. The end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. So I want you to understand, on that timeline, God has always, He does now, and He always will perform His will. His purpose, His prerogative on that timeline, it belongs to Him. Listen, time belongs to God. And He loaned it to us to live in, and we ought to appreciate it and not waste it. Now, in Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1, the scripture tells us here that to everything, underline that in your mind, to everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. God's purpose. God's time. Thank God. There was a time on God's timeline. And we're told in Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. That's one of the critical points on God's timeline. The time that His Son stepped out of eternity, took on a robe of flesh, and lived among us for 33 and a half years, and then did what He came to do. He died on the cross of Calvary. So let me look at four more points besides that critical point. I want to look at four more critical points on God's timeline today. Hopefully I'll not keep you too long. Jesus in His mind, I want you to understand he was thinking in His mind about what was ahead. He saw it all. He knew that He was going to the cross. He knew that He was going to suffer. He knew that the grave wouldn't hold Him. He knew that he was going to ascend back to the Father after 40 days, after His resurrection and so forth. And He knew that there was a time, a specific time, on that imaginary line you've got in your mind there with the beginning and the end. He knew there was a time. Thank God that He was coming for that church that He bought on Calvary. So let's look now at a few scriptures here. Jesus thought in His mind, it's a little while. It was just a matter of hours to Calvary. And He thought about that. He knew that. He saw that. A little while unto Calvary. Philippians 2:8 says, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself. Thank God He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. At that time, that cross was a horrible, horrible death. You couldn't imagine a more horrible death than the crucifixion. And it was reserved for the worst of the criminals of that day. It was a Roman means of a capital punishment. And it was a horror. It was a horror. John chapter 19, verse 17. It says, and he, that's our Savior, the Lord Jesus, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew, Golgotha. He went knowing, all knowing in advance, seeing in advance what was going to happen to him, the horrors of that place. He went willingly because of his love. And I want you to understand, he didn't go. He didn't go to the cross. He didn't end up on the cross because that Satan tricked him not on. I'll stay up here if I can. He didn't end up on the cross because Satan was able to outsmart Jesus. He didn't end up on the cross because the high priest and the religious leaders of that day tricked Pilate into condemning Jesus to that death. He ended up on the cross because he wanted to end up on the cross. He ended up on the cross because he had to go to the cross if we was going to stay out of hell. He had to go to the cross if we was going to be redeemed. He had to go to the cross. And the reason that he knew he had to go to the cross and wanted to go to the cross and wanted to suffer the death that he suffered was because he loved me and he loved you. Thank God for his love. Romans 5:8 says, God commendeth, or God proved his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for us because we was good people. He didn't die for us because we'd turned over a new leaf and started to listen to him and started to respond to his movements on our life. He went to the cross because he loved us. He loves us all. I want you to understand today, if you're here and you're not saved, there's a Savior that loves you. There's a Savior that paid a debt you can't pay. There's a Savior that wants to keep you out of hell. There's a Savior that wants to adopt you into the family of God. Luke chapter 23, verse 33, still speaking about this a little while under Calvary. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. A little while to Calvary. Jesus knew it was just a little while to Calvary. But he was more concerned about his people, about his disciples, about his apostles, than he was about himself. Knowing the horror that was ahead for him, he was still thinking about his people and trying to comfort them and give them some assurance. He also had in his mind that it was just a little while to his resurrection. Thank God for the resurrection. Thank God that the grave couldn't hold him. Thank God, because he's alive today, you can have life today. You can have life eternal. Matthew 27, verse 57 through 60. The crucifixion was over. Jesus had gave up the ghost. And let me have you understand one other thing before we move to the resurrection here. They didn't take Jesus' life. Those Roman soldiers, they didn't take his life. He gave it. It says he gave up the ghost. When it was time for him to die, he just gave up his soul and his spirit and died. He said in John chapter 10, I believe it is, he said, I have the power to lay my life down and I have the power to raise it again. And that's exactly what happened. Now, when the evening was come, this is on the day that he was crucified. He's still on the cross. They hadn't took his body down yet. It says, when the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in a rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. Now we know from other passages of Scripture that he had some help. Nicodemus was also a disciple of the Lord, and both these were religious men. They'd saw the truth, you know, that they wasn't going to get saved by the law. They wasn't going to get to heaven because of the law. They wasn't going to get to heaven because of their pedigree. They saw they was going to get to heaven because of Jesus and what he did for them. But anyway, they in love, This was a love matter. These two men, they loved Jesus enough to give him a decent burial. And they laid him in the tomb. John chapter 20, this is on resurrection morning now. Jesus had been in the tomb 3 days and three nights. His body had, but his soul and spirit had been elsewhere. We'll talk about that just in a second. Jesus saith unto her, John chapter 20, verse 17, Jesus saith unto her, touch me not. Touch me not. She wanted to bow at his feet and grab hold of his feet and worship him and so forth. But he said, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father. Now, would you notice in our text verse today, he had told his disciples, his apostles, that he was going to the Father. He went to the Father that morning. On resurrection morning, he went to the Father. Just like that, just the same way we'll go and meet Jesus in the clouds. In the twinkling of an eye, he left here. He left here after his resurrection, went to the Holy of Holies in heaven, offered his blood as an atonement for our sin. It was accepted, and then he returned here. Because later, in other passages, it tells us that they was allowed to touch him. But not before he made the offering of his blood for our sins in heaven. Now here's what took place there. He said, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father. And hopefully they would remember what he had said to them. It's going to be a little while and you'll not see me, and then in a little while you will see me. Because I go to my Father. He says, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she'd seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. He had told them, I'm going away for a little while and you won't see me. In a little while you will see me and you'll rejoice. Well, they rejoiced when they saw him here. He came to where they were assembled and showed himself to them, the scars in his hands and his side and so forth. They knew who he was and they rejoiced because he's alive. Now, Jesus saw all this. He saw all this when he gave them the message in John chapter 16 that we read about. But he also looked beyond that. He looked beyond Calvary. He looked beyond the resurrection. And the application was for Calvary and the resurrection, certainly for them. But there was another application beyond that. Beyond that. We'll look at that. Let's look at one more verse here. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Peter said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. Where did this hope come from? Thank God, he said, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hallelujah. Thank God he's alive forevermore. He is our great high priest, our intercessor. He is our go-between. He is the reason that we can get a prayer through from here to heaven. Thank God we go when we pray, and it's the name of Jesus. It's the name of Jesus that causes us to be able to get our prayer through. We always want to be careful and pray in Jesus' name. Not some other name. Jesus' name. That's the only name that'll get us through to heaven. Thank God for Jesus. And thank God for where he is. And thank God for what he's doing today on our behalf. We'll talk about that here in just a minute. So, now he was thinking when he told these fellas, you know, a little while I'm going away and you'll see me. He was also thinking about his ascension to heaven and his eventual return for the church. And he said, it's a little while. And remember, He's been gone from this earth for a long time. Around 2,000 years, I think. But to him, it's a little while. because he sees time all at once. And it to him is a little while. Everything to God's a little while. You know, God don't, he don't have to wait on anything. He don't have to wonder, you know, about what's going to happen. He knows. He sees it. Right now he sees it. Acts chapter 1 verse 1, beginning at verse 1. Opening up, Dr. Luke opening up the book of Acts here, saying what the Spirit of God had led him to say. He said in verse 1, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day, a certain day, God's timeline, that little imaginary line in your mind, a certain day, which he was taken up, and that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. Another specific time on God's timeline, 40 days. Not 30, not 50, 40 days. And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." He's telling them here, he's told them here, as Jesus left, defied gravity and rose through the clouds and so forth, Acts, on down in verse 9 there, he says, "When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said," and notice this here, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus," although you saw him leave you here, "this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." As Jesus saw this, he knew a little while and he was going to leave his people, go to heaven, be our great high priest and our intercessor. And at the same time, he knew that a little while he was coming back for his people. Thank God he's coming. And I believe he's coming soon. And I believe if we're going to get right with him, if we're going to do anything for him, if we're going to get saved, if we're lost, if we're going to get reclaimed and get closer to God, if we backslid and stop doing anything for God, stop praying, stop reading his word, it's time that we get things right with God, because he's coming, and I believe he's coming soon. And when he comes, those of us that saved, we're going to give an account of how we've lived for the Lord. We're going to give an account of what we've done and what we've left off that we should have done. And listen to me, if you're here today and you're not saved, if he comes for his church today, you're doomed. You're doomed for an eternal separation from God in a place called hell. And we talked about the horrors of the cross. The horrors of the cross that Jesus suffered, there's probably no comparison to the horrors of hell. And that's where folks is going to go if they don't get right with God. People's lost, can't go to heaven. And the only thing that's keeping them out of hell right now is the mercy of God. Folks is lost. They're hanging over that place by a thread. One heartbeat, one last breath out of hell. And that ought to move people. The truth of that. And I pray today as I stand here before you that God would, the Holy Spirit would bring his truth into your heart and let us realize how important it is that we're all of us, whether we're saved or lost, that we're all right with God. That what we're doing as God's people please him. That what we're doing as God's people is in his will. That what we do as his people glorifies him and honors him and promotes the gospel that the world needs to hear if they're going to get saved. So a little while, he said, I'm going away. One other scripture here, about this ascension. It says, he led them out. Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them. And it's sweet. Isn't that sweet? Right when he left, He blessed them. Right when he left, right when he said, I'm going away and you'll not see me in a little while. I'm going away. I'm going away. And as he went away, as he was lifted up through the clouds, it says he blessed them. He was parted. He blessed them and parted from them and carried up into heaven. That's where he is today. He's at the right hand of God in the throne room there, and he is working on our behalf. And we prayed, Brother Don prayed a prayer. I prayed a prayer for this message. We prayed, and Brother Don prayed in this service today. And I believe those prayers got through, not because of what me and Brother Don done, not because of what we are, not because of what we deserve. They ain't one of us here deserves an audience in God's throne room. Not one of us. But thank God because of what Jesus did. And because we're in Him. And we're robed in His righteousness. And God sees us. He don't see what we've done. He sees what our Savior's done. And thank God that's how we get an audience in heaven. We got our prayers through today because of who Jesus is and where He is and what He's doing for us. Thank God that He's there. He's there in heaven. As Jesus gave this little message to his disciples are in John chapter 16 that we read about. He was looking ahead, and he knew a little while and he was leaving this earth. Not just leaving his disciples there for those 3 days and three nights he was in the tomb, his body was in the tomb. He was looking ahead here to the time he would leave this earth and go to heaven. And in a little while after that, which up to now has been about 2,000 years, he said, in a little while, I'm coming back and you'll see me again and you will rejoice. I'll tell you what, there'll be a time when Jesus comes. You talk about a time of rejoicing. You talking about a hallelujah time. We're going to have one when he comes for us. We're going to realize how good it is to be saved. We're going to realize what it means to be like him. We're going to be made like him. When he comes for us, we're going to be changed in a moment, in a twink of an eye, the scripture says. And we're going to be like him. We're going to be without sin. There'll be no sin for us to contend with. There'll be no sickness for us to contend with. Thank God there'll be no discouragement, no disagreements. Hallelujah. We're going to live in perfection because of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. Now he said a little while. It's a little while. And let's kind of put this in our concept of time. A little while. I promise you it's going to be a little while. As we have a concept of time, I believe on our timeline, it's going to be just a little while till Jesus comes. I believe it's imminent. And by the way, it's the next major event on God's timeline, on God's calendar. It's the next major event that's going to happen. And nothing else has to happen before that happens. According to the scripture, a lot of things had to happen before Calvary. A lot of things had to happen before the resurrection and so forth. But on God's timeline where we sit now, there's not one thing got to happen before Jesus comes. It's the next event. And it's close. And we ought to realize that. We ought to let that motivate us. A little while till he comes for his church. Jesus had said in John chapter 14, beginning at verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He's given them more encouragement here. This passage was again just hours from Calvary, just hours before he'd go to the cross. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. When Jesus gave that little message right there to his people, he saw in his own mind, he saw as God the time that he was coming in the air for his church, the time that the trump would sound, the time that there'd be a shout. And that the church would be changed in the moment, in the twinkle of an eye, that the dead in Christ should rise first, and we'd all meet him together in the air. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 gives us these words. This is a great comfort to the church. That's what Paul ended up saying here. He said, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Here's the words: "I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, or those that have died in Christ, your folks that you love, that you know was saved and right with God." He said, "I'd not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning these that are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." There's a contrast there between folks that's ready to meet the Lord and the folks that's not. He said, don't sorrow for those that's gone, that's died in the Lord. Don't sorrow for them. Be sorry for those that's not ready. Be sorry for those that won't go that day. Be sorry for those that'll stay here. Be sorry for those that's going to spend eternity in hell because they rejected the gospel. They rejected the Savior. Even as others that have no hope. For if we believe, I hope you believe today, that Jesus died and rose again, and even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, or shall not go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself, notice he's not sending a committee of angels to come get his church, he's coming himself. He bought this church and he's coming for it. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, same way left, he's coming through the clouds, he's coming in the clouds, and we're going to meet him there. He says, himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And he says, comfort one another with these words. And I'll be a comfort to you today, if you're saved, to know that Jesus is coming, and he's coming soon. 1 John 3:2 tells us something that ought to make us rejoice. He said, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, or the children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know." We're not guessing about this. We know. How do we know? Because Jesus promised. We know. It's good. It's good. It's paid for. It's going to happen. It's a surety. He said, "We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." That's going to be a hallelujah time. Do you look forward to that, church? You ought to be looking forward to that. That ought to be something that really motivates us to live for him and love him and serve him. Now, as I said, opening this up, you know, God gave this time to us. And it had a beginning, and it's going to have an end. It's going to last a good while after the church is gone, after the rapture of the church. This time that God gave, it's going to last 1,007 years longer. 7 years of the tribulation and 1,000 years of the millennial reign of our Lord, and then time is going to be no more. And he gave the Apostle John the truth of that in Revelation chapter 10. John had some visions that, I don't know how he could stand it, all he saw, but he saw some things and was told some things. And here's one of the things he was told. He says, an angel. He saw this angel. And he says, I saw this angel stand upon the sea and upon the earth. And I've imagined in my mind, he's a big enough angel in John's mind there, that he stood with one foot on the earth and one foot on the sea. And this is what he said. He said, he lifted up his hand to heaven, this angel. He lifted up his hand to heaven and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven, the things that are therein, and the earth, and the things that are therein, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. So it's for sure, it's recorded that there's going to be a time when there's not any more time. Now let me bring this home here. I'm thinking about you today if you're not saved. There's coming a time on your timeline that there's going to be time no more. Just as God's people, when Jesus comes for us, we're getting out of time and we're getting into eternity where God is. Now, there's also eternity in a place called hell. And if you leave here, if Jesus comes for his church, or if you leave here by the way of death and you're not saved, you're going to spend eternity. You're not going to spend some time there. You're going to spend eternity there. It's not going to have a beginning for you, and it's not going to have an end for you. You're not going to have any facilities about you that'll cause you to remember a lot of things you'd like to remember and so forth. It's going to be an eternal place of torment, an eternal place of sorrow, an eternal place where there's no friends. There's no way that we can put into words the horrors of hell. And it's for eternity. And there'll be a time on your line, on that little line that I ask you to imagine. There'll be a time there when you'll drop off that timeline and into eternity. All of us will do that. Every one of us we're going to get off that timeline, and we're going to get to eternity where things never end. And it's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing to think that folks go to that awful place. And you know, it's one thing to suffer for a little while and then have it stop. But in hell, it don't stop. It's the exact opposite of what heaven's all about. Heaven is more glorious, more beautiful, more wonderful than we can imagine. And on the other side of that coin, hell is so awful. It's so terrible. It's such a horrific place that we can't put it into words. Please don't go there. If you're here today and you're not saved, or you're not sure you're saved, please don't go there. Don't go there. Don't think that you've got all this time. You may not. That's why Jesus said, had the Holy Spirit had recorded in the Word, you know, that today on that timeline, today on your timeline, is the day of salvation. Today. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 2 says this: behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So thank God for the little whiles that we're told about in God's Word. Now, that's the message that God gave me, and I hope it meant something to you. I hope it was a blessing to you. And if you're not saved, I hope that God spoke to your heart. I ask Him to. And I hope that you'll respond today and get saved. Be sure you're saved today. Tammy, you can bring to come and play a little bit. Mark, why don't you come up here and get a song? We usually don't do a song, but I want to get a song today. I like that singing invitation. See if you can find Just As I Am, my Mark. As the musicians begin to play, Mark will sing here for us just a minute. Everybody stand our feet. As they begin to play here, Mark will sing just a minute. I'm going to say this before Mark sings. If you're saved today and you know you're saved, there was a time in your life on your timeline that you know, you're 100% sure that God spoke to your heart and drew you in His love to the place where you'd repent and get right with Him, I'm speaking to you. If you've accepted the grace of God and got saved, but you've not lived, you've not been what you're supposed to be as a Christian, you're not coming up to the standards that God's given His people, I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that, and I want you, you can do it right where you are, you can come to this altar, whatever you want to do, but I want you to ask God to forgive you. I want to ask Him to give you a desire in your heart to love Him and serve Him the way He deserves to be served. And if you're not, if you're here today and you're not saved or you're not sure you're saved, I want you to listen to the Spirit of God as He speaks to your heart. I want you to understand how much Jesus loves you. I want you to understand that He paid a debt you couldn't pay. And if you'll turn to Him and repent of your sins and accept Him, He'll save you today. You ought to know you're saved when you leave here. You ought to know that you're right with God today when you leave here. All right, Mark.